Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. Here's what we've got on today's show. It was a wild weekend in Vegas, so we've got everything to get you caught up. And Memphis made a trade for a little throwback grit and grind. Will Pat Bev be a perfect fit? What about LeBron and Russ? The big picture in Lakerland will put the puzzle pieces together. And the king of NBA Twitter is here. That's right, King Josiah. All that and more, so get your Twitter fingers ready because The Jump starts now. Welcome indeed to The Jump. Joining me today in studio, we have NBA champ Richard Jefferson, NBA reporter Malika Andrews, and from Houston, it is the 2008 champ, Kendrick Perkins. Aww. They're all together again.
They're all together.
Wait,
I'm still this camera? Okay.
We have a little we have a little bubble thing going on here, Perk, but
team bubble.
We won't make you feel bad, I promise.
No, we will.
Perk's got a bit of a bubble.
No, it's perfectly fine, Rachel. I just feel sorry for you and Malika. I really feel sorry for y'all loss having to be sitting next to Squidward.
But let's go. I'm excited about me and Perk going to agree on something today.
We appreciate your support, Perk. I want to start with the trade first reported by Woj. The Clippers dealing Patrick Beverley, Rajon Rondo, Daniel Oturo to Memphis for Eric Bledsoe. Memphis has 16 guaranteed contracts now, so they will be open to trade for some of the players returning in this deal. The trade saves the Clippers $30 million in luxury tax, also creates that $8.3 million traded player exception, so they have a year to use that, Richard. What are your takeaways from this deal?
Well, I think the Clippers obviously saved a ton of money, and they put themselves in a position to do something later down the line. You know, there's always those opportunities whether someone's unhappy or this, and so if you have a little bit more flexibility, especially that trade exception, that's what the Clippers are looking at. This is also a year without Kawhi. That's what it's looking like. So why carry that extra $30 million when you know the chances of of winning a championship without one of the best players in the league is pretty slim? So I like the move.
Absolutely. And I had a chance to speak with Eric Bledsoe yesterday, and he's excited about this move to go back to where he started, right? He's a chance to have a look at winning. I know that Kawhi Leonard isn't actually going to be there for who knows how long of the season. That hurts their chances quite a bit. But from going in a New Orleans situation where it was really about mentorship, where it was really about figuring out what that team was about, to a team that has aspirations to win, that was a big piece of this puzzle for him, as well as who doesn't like to be back in sunny California, baby. Yeah. And then, yeah, like you said, the Grizzlies, there's still some pieces. I expect another shoe to fall, as Adrian Wojnarowski reported, with this deal.
Yeah.
You know what? I actually love this for Eric Bledsoe. I think, you know, over the past couple of years, he hasn't, you know, got the fair shake. Things didn't work well in Milwaukee for him, and things didn't work out well in New Orleans for him. But I think going with the Clippers with Ty Lue, being under Ty Lue wing, Ty Lue is going to put Eric Bledsoe in the best position possible to be successful. Now, when I'm looking at the Memphis Grizzlies, I actually think that they did pretty good in this trade. You acquire a guy like Patrick Beverley that you know is going to bring that tenacity, bring that type of leadership, that grind mentality that that Tony Allen and Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol established way before Ja Morant got there. We know that in Memphis, it's a hostile environment. I think it's a perfect fit for Pat Bev if they decide to keep him, along with Rajon Rondo. If Rondo wants to stay in Memphis, I don't blame him. You know, he could become a huge mentor to Ja Morant for his success, for his being one of the best floor generals to ever play the game in my eyes. Now he could mentor Ja Morant on how to do certain things, how to be a leader on and off the court. So I look at both sides, and I think both sides won in this deal.
Yeah, it's nice. You kind of feel like a lot of the players won also with Eric Bledsoe. It's tough when you get dealt off a team that goes on to win a championship, right? I mean, you start to feel like, did they win it without me for a reason? Drew Holiday, obviously such a huge part of that
It happened to me three or four times.
Richard,
San Antonio, Golden State, like it happened all the time.
Everywhere you leave, people win? Is that what you're saying?
I wouldn't go that far. There's still quite a few.
It's fine,
Eric.
I think it'll be great for him. And who knows with Kawhi, right? I mean, we don't expect him for the bulk of the regular season, and certainly his injury history is to be more careful and be on the more conservative side. But he could be back for the playoffs. And this is a team that has shown this past postseason that they can roll with the punches. They have a veteran presence on them, and we'll just have to see how it happens. I don't think Memphis knows yet which pieces they are going to keep. I think it will depend on the offers they get in the coming weeks. I want to move on to Summer League, though, guys. You know, they're always testing new rule ideas in Vegas. And this year we have gotten sudden death overtime. Perk, do you like this? Would you want to see it during the regular season?
Absolutely not, Rachel. I don't like it because, look, I mean, this is, do you see these shots that these teams are making? That means, like, whoever gets the ball first, all you have to do is draw a foul or move the ball around and make one shot to end the game. I don't like this rule. If they was to put this rule into the NBA, can you imagine how many upsets would happen? Hmm. How many teams could possibly win championships but just going into overtime? I don't like it in summer league, and I definitely don't like it in the season.
Oh, but it's such a beautiful Monday when me and Perk actually agree, because I think it is a terrible idea. I think it's an awful idea. Look, go back, right? I was having a conversation with our producer, and we were talking, and I was like, think about it. When you had Patrick Mahomes and you had Tom Brady going against each other in the championship game, next thing you know, Tom Brady goes in overtime. He completes 8 straight passes. We don't even get to see Pat Mahomes on the field. The last thing you would want to see is a 5-minute quote-unquote period where the best players don't get the ball. If you got Steph Curry versus Kevin Durant, if you got LeBron James versus James Harden, you want both of them to get opportunities right. to shoot the ball or to make a play. And so while it is cute in the summer league, I don't think that that's something that we should transfer over to the big boy league.
But I like it in summer league. I like watching
summer league.
I like watching it in summer league. I got into the TBT tournament in the offseason. I got into watching that. I liked watching the Elam endings. It kind of made my blood pressure rise in a way that only it does in a certain amount of NBA games. That being said, having it in a regular season NBA game when everything is on the line, that probably shouldn't happen. But that,
I mean, the Elam ending
fun.
Is, the Elam ending, though, isn't, and as you know, the Elam ending isn't sudden death.
No.
So that
addresses
Richard's concern, right? In the Elam ending, everyone touches the ball.
And it's fun.
Yes.
I don't even know what Elam ending is.
It's what they've done in the All-Star game the past couple seasons. Welcome to covering the NBA.
I just found out about the sudden death rule. That shows you how much that I've watched. What I will say, and this is where it's cool with it, where what they should do, this should be in the preseason.
Just
preseason.
Yeah, because
no one
nobody
gets
ever wants preseason
that's
overtime.
That's what nobody
you
wants.
Are
an
absolutely
nobody
right.
wants an overtime because
yes,
you've got guys that
game.
Will never basically really touch the floor in a crucial NBA situation. So, yes, give us a situation where you have a sudden death. Mm. But I think in preseason, 100% use it in preseason. The worst thing that could ever happen is that overtime game in preseason.
You have to also realize it's 5 minutes in basketball, right? In hockey, they change things to a shootout during the regular season because playing in a whole additional 20-minute overtime and then another 1 2-minute overtime, right?
So soccer should do
that's
golden
a lot,
goal, though.
Right?
Soccer should do golden goal. The,
right?
The goal, PK.
That's it. But you don't need 20 minutes. 5 minutes, you guys can tough it out for 5 minutes. Also in Summer League action, we had some action, guys. Mavs forward Eugene Omoruyi and Kings forward Chinese Metu. They were both ejected for their roles in this little melee. Metu took a swing in reaction to the flagrant foul. So, Malika, how serious do you expect the punishment from the league to be?
So I was actually going back and forth with research, and I need Bobby Marks to, like, come into my ear magically right now, because I think it's going to be as serious as it can be, because the league has worked so hard, as you know, Rachel, to try to sort of eradicate this idea of it being a rough-and-tumble league where people are allowed or have leeway to throw punches ever since Malice in the Palace, blah, 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 right? But for Summer League, I was rifling through the rule book trying to figure out, okay, how exactly for guys who may or may not be on a roster, for guys who may or may not have another game that they could actually be suspended, how the heck does that work? So as serious as it can be for Summer League, and now I'm going to go back to reading the rule book so Richard can talk. I know he doesn't know. So
no idea, but I will say this. You got a bunch of guys that are trying to make it.
Yeah.
And you go and give a hard foul. This is not the postseason, right? Like, there's a level of respect that needs to go on when you talk about Summer League and they wonder why, like, the top 5 picks only play 2 or 3 games. It's for situations like this because no heroes are made in Summer League. No hard foul in that moment. Look, there was might have been a leg up there. There was definitely a follow through. Look, at the end of the day, look, right here, even the leg that comes and he trips over, that could be the end of a season. That could be the end of a career. That could be the end of an opportunity.
Oof.
You just don't do that in those moments, especially with a guy in the air. I'm not even upset with him, but I'll tell you this. You do that in the big boy league, you will not be around for very long.
I mean, look, here it is. I agree with RJ, right? You got guys fighting for their life. I do. I agree with you, Richard. You have guys fighting for their livelihoods. You have guys out there competing. And I don't mind a little cat fight every now and then. That wasn't nothing. That's guys showing passion. And RJ, if you have been watching the Summer League games, you would have known that these games have been very, very competitive.
Bro, that's cute.
You haven't been watching.
I watched.
Perk and I actually went to Summer League.
I saw you guys. You guys did an outstanding job.
You guys did in person. But Perk, I think part of the issue too is, look, you're right. You've got guys trying to prove that they can make it, and they're tough, and they're hungry, and they want it. There's a line, though, and this is something you did so well in your career. Everybody knew you did not want to get into it with Kendrick Perkins, right? If Kendrick Perkins was coming knocking on your door, things were not going well for you. But, Perk, you knew you're not out there throwing punches, right?
You're just showing
messaging.
Hey,
getting the message across, right?
Yeah, but Rachel, if I had the opportunity to change the hands of times, I would have not have done those actions because it cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, right? but doing those actions made you millions.
There's a balance there.
Hey, Rich, you're not about to sit up here and try to downplay my career like pushing people is what made me millions.
I'm saying the fire and the intensity, the toughness.
I know it's weird, but he did just compliment you. I know it's just.
It was a backhanded compliment. Let's not get carried away.
It's never a compliment.
And there you go. Malika, I believe, has had enough of us for a few minutes, so she's going to duck out. But she will be back later in the show.
If you could look into the camera, this is for the jump. If you could say it's a make or miss lead.
I'll believe that.
Okay. Then you don't have to say it.
I appreciate it. It's a make or miss lead.
We got a king.
Make glass, a pair of backboard alley oops by the Kings at Summer League. Perk. Maybe they're just testing the durability of the backboard in Vegas.
Ooh.
Hey, Rachel, I tried to tell the world this is the most athletic draft in NBA history.
Mm-hmm.
You did say that, Perk. I don't listen to a lot of stuff you say, but that was pretty accurate. When I watched some of these guys fly, but it was more of the ease with the athleticism. They can do it in different ways. Like, look at that. Just off the backboard, and then he tried to go Kenyon Martin on the rim. If you guys don't know, young people, Google it. Kenyon tried to rip the rim off on the most simplest of dunks every time.
Yeah, it's called snatching the screws out the rim, Richard.
Yeah, that wasn't my thing. I was like, no fingerprints, no evidence.
You were like, just lay it in.
Yeah. Just flush it in. Ooh, off the glass?
Mm-hmm.
These kids might be able to play one day.
Miss injuries. Keep your eye on Rajon Tucker at the top of your screen. So he's limping. But then the Sixers get out and run. Oh, look, he's going! Yeah. He catches a lot, baby! I got it! Look at that! I mean, alley-oops clearly have healing powers, Richard. That's the only explanation for this.
There are certain people that are super fast when they have the ball in their hands and are super slow when they don't. And there's individuals that...
I'm fine. I can't make it. Oh, no, I can't.
Does that count as like a flopping?
No, not if you just have a, slower gait. No.
Yeah.
No, but you know.
Perk, you got anything?
No, I really could see you doing this in the game.
I was going to say, you can do this on the show sometimes.
Nah, that's not what I do. I do that, yes, but not, I didn't limp out. I was a track star.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I just ran for days. No
past
skills.
Tense. Make past buckets. Tense. All right, so after his game winner last Thursday, Cam Thomas has not skipped a beat, hit this dagger against the Spurs. 3 of his 36 total points, Perk. I mean, the Nets got a steal here, right?
They did. He was the best scorer in this draft, Rachel. I'm surprised he went that low. He literally could have went top 15, but this kid is a flat-out bucket, and yes, the Nets did get a steal with him.
They got potential. They did not get a steal, right? Like, he scored a lot of points, didn't shoot a great percentage. If you watch him play, the ball is in his hands. You want to know one place the ball is not going to be in his hands? When he's playing with Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving. So he's got to adjust his game from being a 23-point-a-game scorer in college, 40% from the field. He's got to be an efficient shooter.
But he's
got potential.
Learning, right?
He's got a tough
distraction.
Time.
Check out the ankle breaker by Trevlin Queen. Puts the defender on the hardwood. Perk, we want to know if your crossover skills match these crossover skills.
Rachel, you seen the video when I was in the street handling the ball. You seen me doing the sound guard. I got a lot in my bag. I just wasn't able to use it. But look, you know that was simple. That was a simple 1-2 behind the back, you know, get to the rack. That's easy right there. I got that in my bag for sure.
There you go.
And honestly, I got to give a lot of respect. If you're getting highlights right now, you got to enjoy it. I don't know how many of those guys are going to be on the Lakers roster. But, you know, hey, no, but my favorite thing about Summer League is that it doesn't matter what team you're playing on, you're auditioning for all of them.
Yes,
I think that's awesome. You're auditioning for all of them.
That is absolutely true. And, you know, those moves, Perk, I think you've got all the moves. It's kind of like Steve Nash has said he wished there was the green light for shooting when he played for the 7 seconds or less Suns that there is for players in the league now.
They average like 120 a game.
It's like as if Perk, if he had gotten that green light, we would have seen an entirely different Kendrick Perkins. I believe in you, Perk. I do.
Appreciate it, Rachel. I mean, you don't go to the University of Cash not being able to have skills, so... You know, I appreciate it.
Let's stick with Summer League, guys, because number one overall pick, Cade Cunningham, made seven threes on Friday. Perk, what are your expectations for him in his rookie season in Detroit?
You know what? I think that he is going to put up numbers. This kid could flat out play. We already know that. Obviously, he was drafted number one. My concerns is you know, how he's going to fit along there. Got along the guy alongside the guy Hayes that they picked with the lottery pick last season. Cade is a guy that is a point forward. We already know that he could get buckets. We know that he has a mid-range. He can shoot the three. He can post up. But the thing that I love most about him is his facilitating, his playmaking for others. And I'm just watching him in summer league. I'm trying to see how Detroit is going to find a way to make him and the kid Hayes work because they both are ball dominant.
Well, let me say this. I like Hayes, but I think Hayes also needs to make sure that he's working with Cade Cunningham.
I think that's on him, right?
Yeah, but if you look at, go back and look at the Boston Celtics when they had Jaylen Brown and then they drafted Jason Tatum. They could have had the point guard in Markelle Fultz and they brought in Gordon Hayward. Obviously, he was injured. But when I look at Cade Cunningham, you know what I see for NBA fans? I see Brandon Roy. Like, Brandon Roy was one of the most impressive right-away NBA players that you could see. Because he was, like, fast, but he wasn't that fast. He was quick, but he wasn't that quick. He was athletic, but not super athletic. But what he did is he just understood the game at an extremely high level, and he didn't have any deficiencies in his game. He was strong, dominant, going to left. He would post up smaller guards. He could go by bigger guards. He just had such a complete game. And when I look at Cade Cunningham, I don't see a lot of flaws. And even within his game, the flow and rhythm that he plays with is so effortless. He knocked down seven threes, but none of these are like Jalen Green, step back sideways. They're just catching rhythm, step into it, reading the floor. It's just a great pace that he plays with. I think he's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
And look, the nice thing about being good at everything, which he's such a complete player already, is that if one part of your game isn't working, and we've seen this already with his summer league play, he's got so many other things in his bag that he's like, oh, okay, well, I'll just be a three-point shooter today. And, oh, there's seven of them. I think the people of Detroit should be very excited about what's going to happen in their building this upcoming season. And, guys, I want to get to the Lakers. LeBron posting these photos on his Instagram, working out with Russell Westbrook, with the caption saying, I agree. I don't think this will work, Russell. Kendrick, obviously some heavy sarcasm there. What is your thought, friend, on LeBron's fit with Russ this season on the court? We already know they're friends off the court.
Well, I mean, look, I've been trying to warn the world, and it's just like those old people, like my grandparents used to tell me when my grandmother was cooking. Hey, don't touch that oven, it's hot. And then you have to learn. You touch the oven, then it get burnt. This is what's about to happen to all the people that are doubting or having something to say about whether or not Russell Westbrook and LeBron James are going to work on the court. Yes, it's going to work, okay? Russell Westbrook has proven us that he is a guy that is willing to facilitate for others. LeBron James don't want to carry that load no more. LeBron James has showed us that he could play alongside another non-shooting superstar like he did with Dwayne Wade and still win championships. Look, to all the people that are doubting Russell and LeBron and the Lakers, answer this. When we get to the postseason, name a team just in the Western Conference alone that could beat this Lakers team fully healthy in the seven-game series, and I'll wait.
Okay, well, first of all, Rachel, to address your point, I don't think Bron was being sarcastic when he says, yeah, this won't work. I don't think he was being sarcastic. I think he was telling the truth. And secondly, no one cares about the 82 when it comes to the Lakers. Truth be told, no one cares about the 82 when it comes to the Brooklyn Nets. They will be purely judged on their 16. The 16 that it takes to win a championship. If they don't win, it's a failure. That's part of Bron's legacy. If they win, it'll be a part of his legacy.
Okay, so for those 16 games, how do you think the X and O fit is?
This is what's crazy. People that try and compare him to D-Wade is completely false because D-Wade was a high-level defender. He was more of a, I'm not going to drive. He might not even shoot that many threes. Well, Russ will shoot threes regardless of what his percentage says. He knocks down shots. He's a high-level player. But no one knows. I don't think we've ever seen a pairing like these two, like LeBron and Russell Westbrook, with the same type of expectations of, like, it's either championship or bust. So while Perk is going to tell us, like, I've been telling you guys and I've been warning everybody, that was my Perk voice, I don't know what it's going to do. And we're only going to be able to really figure it out in 16.
But did the Nets have those expectations? That sort of matchup of Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, I feel like that was immediately. But I did look at those. Ha! That's the Richard I got you.
Yeah.
I love that.
Okay.
This is the highlight of my day.
What?
Check.
I was on
done.
Way. What?
Done. When you look at Dwayne Wade's shooting, right? All right. He shot 29% career 29% three-point shooter for his career. Russ at 32%. So it's a little bit better. But then I was looking at all these numbers and thinking about it, and I was like, you know what? I don't know if I care. I want it to work. Narrative-wise, looking at it, I want it to work. So I want something to look forward to watching. What duo, to your point about expectations around the league, what duo, trio, when you add Anthony Davis into it and the rest of it, has this much excitement about it heading into this season? I'm excited to watch this.
Well,
God, that face.
Yes, we're glad that. But this is the other thing. Go back and look at the Miami Heat lineup. They had Ray Allen.
But
they had Mike Miller. They had Shane Battier. So they had supreme shooting.
But that's the issue, right?
Supreme shooting.
The comparison to me isn't between this team and LeBron's Miami Heat team. So that was a different decade, frankly, where the league was very different, right? We hadn't seen the three-point explosion and everything going on. I'm more interested in comparing it to last year's Lakers team, right? And if you look at the shooting numbers, yes, when they signed Russ, they did not have a very full roster. It was, you could count on one hand the number of signed guys they've had. But they have filled it out. And you look at the shooting numbers, last season, the Lakers shot 54% from two, 35% from three. Well, this season, Perk, if you look at those same guys on the roster and you just add up what they would have shot last season if they had been a team together, it's 53% from two, so that's roughly the same. 37% from three. So the three-point numbers are actually going up. They actually have better three-point shooting on this roster than last year's roster. And those couple percentage points, they might not seem like a big deal, but last year the Lakers were 21st in the league in three-point shooting. This year's roster, this coming season, if they had all been together last year, they would have been good enough to be 13 in the league. That is a significant jump, Perk, and that is why I think you're very optimistic.
Well, look, first of all, Rachel, let me bend the pot on Richard for a second. I wasn't saying that Russell Westbrook and Dwayne Wade are the same type of player or whatever the case may be. But what I'm saying is, when you look at Russell Westbrook, what's one thing that he loves to do as a big point guard? He loves to take smaller guys to the low block, get to the free throw line, or punish them down low. Dwayne Wade was a hell of a post-up guy. Same with LeBron James. Also, who did the Lakers add this year to their coaching staff? David Fizdale. Who was LeBron James and Dwayne Wade working out with for us, their low post game, cutting off each other? It was Fizdale. And then you add Phil Handy. This is the thing that people don't know about Russell Westbrook. In the offseason, he never trains with a personal trainer. He always goes in the gym with his dad. Now you get Mr. 94 feet himself,
yes.
Phil Handy, one of the best player development coaches in the game, if not the best player development coach in the game. And now he gets to get his hands on Russell Westbrook and fine-tune and work on a few things on how to step into his jump shot instead of shooting his shot off two feet straight up and down.
We're going to change his shot formula 13 years in.
You know what Phil Handy did for your game?
No, listen, I'm not disrespecting Phil Handy. The only thing I'm saying, and to Rachel's point, when you put the group together and you look at it, it's going to come down to possession basketball when you're talking about winning a championship. Mm. And as long as they play the right type of possession basketball, then I think that they're either one or they're number two behind the Brooklyn Nets. Well,
you just see the roster construction too. Look, LeBron's first season here in Los Angeles. The Lakers came out and said it. They said, we're going to try something different. We don't think we need to put a lot of shooting around LeBron. It did not work. They made a big course correct there, and they have clearly decided, you know what? What has been true of LeBron his whole career, that he needs shooters around him, we should just go with that. And if you look at the numbers for this roster, they are better than advertised. Once you add in those new younger players that they got, not in the first day of free agency, but in the second and third day of free agency, again, their three-point shooting numbers have actually ticked up from last season. I'm with you, Perk, on Phil Handy. I mean, everywhere that man goes, championship rings follow. I don't know, though, what you started out with when your grandma told you to touch a hot stove and you had to learn for yourself.
Yeah, that was.
I just want to know. I think Malika didn't have to learn for herself. I think she knew already that the stove was hot. I think Richard never learned. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's you got to be from the country. And I mean, certain things just happen down south that it don't happen around other parts of the world. But I will say this. We overemphasize shooting so much, but the Milwaukee Bucks showed us that you could get it done without actually shooting the ball very well in this postseason when they won the championship. Long as you have a superstar to take you home, which the Lakers do have a few of them on their team, a few Hall of Famers that could close out games, you could win a championship. I just think we overemphasize shooting. We watch Joe Harris shoot the lights out in the regular season, and then to come in the postseason, he was shooting the ball
By 16.
I don't want to put too much emphasis in three-point shooting. I just said when it matters the most and it gets down to possession by possession in the fourth quarter, it's time for the guys to get paid the big bucks to take you home. And they got a few of them on the Lakers roster.
It's going to be so, so good. Malika, thank you so much for joining us today. You're going to be with us here in L.A. for the rest of the week, so really? Don't go too far. No.
Josiah Johnson, best follow on Twitter.
Agreed.
His son, best follow on Twitter. If you're not following him, you're making a mistake.
The meme king.
Welcome back to The Jump. And we got the man himself. That was your dad on the set with us in Milwaukee. And not only is our next guest the son of an NBA legend, the man is an NBA Twitter legend in his own right. Josiah Johnson, thank you so much for joining us. We are thrilled we finally got you on The Jump.
We appreciate y'all for having me on. I'm excited to join this illustrious crew of legends.
You are smart, by the way. You're not getting in between Perk and Richard on this screen. Mm-hmm. You have chosen the wise position. I do want to ask you about what you tweeted out after the Clippers trade surfaced. You just immediately react. I mean, I think that's part of what is so incredible about the game you have on social is you always have the exact right thing, and it's lightning fast when Westbrook see Pat Bev on his plane leaving LAX for Memphis. How do you come up with this stuff, especially like that?
Well, like the legend Sugar Free said, if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. So I try to just stay ready with the heat at all times. And whatever happens in the NBA Twitter space, try to react to it as quick as possible. Know I'm battling legends like your guys' social team with kids like Hezzy J and Grant Goldberg and that crew over there. So just try to bring the heat, try to keep up with them and make sure everything I drop is fire.
So we had your pops in Milwaukee, and again, he covered my games when I was at Arizona. I played against your brother at UCLA. What I want to know is, like, for the family, like, was that a big moment seeing the Milwaukee Bucks get a championship and knowing how much your dad put into that organization and still represents them to this day?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tremendous moment for him. We all went out as a family to Game 3 in Milwaukee and just got to turn up and really enjoy the experience. He had so much fun Game 3. He went back for Game 4. I know Game 4, Perk, he saw you and Kareem and Dave Chappelle and a bunch of legends. He had so much fun in Game 4. He went back for Game 6. Had so much fun, obviously, Game 6. They won the championship. He stayed for the parade. And then I'm seeing him in the parade route, shirtless, flexing his chest off, and he really had me in the gym trying to get back on his level because he's 65 years old, but he looks like he's 40, so I had to get my sexy back as well. But obviously the city of Milwaukee's been great to him and been super supportive of everything he's got going on, so it was just a tremendous time. I'm super happy for them. Obviously, I'm a LeBron, a Lakers guy, but Milwaukee's my second favorite team, and appreciate them for hooking up the tickets and letting us come out there and just flourish.
And your dad can still dunk, too. That's the part that just blows me away.
You hear that, Perk? His dad can still dunk.
Yeah, that's fine, Richard. Hey, look, it's my moment. You just had your time. Josiah, what's up, brother? Look, I know how you feel about King James. I know how you feel about your Los Angeles Lakers. They just got Russell Westbrook. Now they got a big three. What's your expectations for LeBron this season and the Lakers?
Well, first and foremost, what's up, my elite brethren? And, secondarily, obviously, I'm a big LeBron guy, UCLA guy, so I love Westbrook. I was super happy about the move. I feel like some Lakers fans out there were a little cautious hearing that, but I think Russ is just a tremendous player. Obviously, he's a big Kobe fan. Kobe's his favorite player growing up. He's got that Mamba mentality. And I think they're really going to learn how to work together and coexist. LeBron going into year 19, he doesn't need to be as ball dominant. I think Russ can really pick up the slack there. Obviously, Russ is a great distributor, great rebounder. And I think the squad, obviously, the naysayer, obviously when the trade first happened, everybody was like, oh, they're too old, they're whack and whatever. So we'll let them keep that mojo going. LeBron's out here sending shots, tweeting stuff, deleting stuff, and really letting people know, putting them on notice. But, for me, hopefully, I'm going to be optimistic that hopefully we can just make the playing game. I don't expect much from this squad. Maybe we just get playing game, we'll be all right. But we'll let everybody sleep on us till it's too late.
Again, the sarcasm. There we go. I want to ask you about something you're doing outside of basketball. You're one of the writers on the upcoming Netflix show Colin in Black and White, which is about Colin Kaepernick's high school years. How did you become a part of that project? What was that experience like in the writer's room? Because I've gone home with Cap when I was covering football, and it's just a fascinating story.
Well, Rachel, I'm a man of many talents, so obviously everybody sees the Twitter and all that, but I keep multiple bags coming in. I got kids to feed and family to take care of, but just getting the opportunity to work with Ava DuVernay and Colin Kaepernick on this project was obviously one of the greatest experiences of my life, and also working with Michael Starberry, who was a showrunner on the show. He's a big Bucks fan, so I know he's super juiced and excited about everything going on, but Ava and Starberry actually worked together on When They See Us, were Emmy nominated, so he gave me the call. He told me a while ago, like, look, I'm doing this Cap show. If it ends up working out, I want to bring you on. And this is Hollywood, so you hear things all the time. You're like, okay, sure. I believe it when I see it. But show got picked up. He hit me up like, yo, I want you to be in the room. And just to be, experience that working with Ava and her company, Array, and having Colin walk into the room and just being able to look him eye to eye and ask him questions to kind of dispel some of the myths and rumors about him and look at him man to man and see how excited he was to try and get back in the NFL. And I know that's probably still a dream of his, but just looking at everything he's done on and off the field, his tremendous accomplishments. And it's a little frustrating and sad to see that he still hasn't gotten an opportunity to kind of continue his dream. But I think this show is really going to highlight Colin and just the incredible man he is, the stuff that he dealt with in high school that really helped lay the foundation for the man that he is today.
Yeah, when we went back with him to do that piece with him, we interviewed his mom and just his whole background. It's just fascinating, and I really cannot wait to see what you guys do. Before I let you go, though, we have a perfect game for you on this show. It is called Retweet or Delete. Now, we usually just ask Perk if he's going to stand behind his tweets or if he wants to delete them. But we want you, Josiah, to be the judge of Perk and Richard. First up, earlier today, Perk tweeted, you are not required to set yourself on fire to keep other people warm. This is one of my favorite Perkisms. Josiah, are you retweeting or deleting that from Perk?
Well, as you guys know, I rock with Perk heavy, so I'm retweeting that one because that is fire. That's when I really got you out here saying.
There we go. UCLA, stand up.
You already know.
Come on, Richard. Even you have to admit that's a good one.
Yeah, look, it's a good one, but it's like.
I mean, old people need soft shoes. It's right up there.
I've been trying to come up with some Perkisms, and I struggle. Maybe it's just. I don't know. Yeah. I struggle.
Next up, Damian Lillard tweeting that could just be your tagline. I hope we play the Hawks on October 24th. And Richard quote tweeted that saying, the question is, who is we? So Josiah, retweet or delete Richard's tweet.
I'm going to quote tweet that with like seven smiley faces because the inquiry minds want to know, who is we?
Who is we?
Which team is playing the Hawks?
See, my thing is this. When I get that out before Josiah, because I know Josiah was like, all right, where am I going? He's in his bag. He's looking. So if I can do something that makes Josiah laugh. But what I like to do on social media is I like to just put things out there and then I – turn off my phone and mm-hmm. just like, yeah. see, let's see what happens like a couple hours later. It's typically not good.
Go ahead.
No, Richard, you really wanted to know, like, the rest of the world. Like, who is we? Like, that was a good, I will quote tweet.
All there. Right.
I would actually say something. That was a great job, Squidward.
There you go. Aw, it's just such peace and harmony here. Perk, you responded to, there was a clip of Kevin Durant highlights that called him one of the best scorers ever. You wrote, the greatest scorer ever, not one of, the greatest. Carry the hell on. Josiah, retweet or delete on that one.
I'm going to have to delete that one. I'm a UCLA guy. I got to rock with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. No disrespect or slander to KD because I do not want him coming for me or the no. rest of the DC's crew, bands, anybody over on that side, Rich Kleiman, none of those dudes. But I'm a UCLA guy. Rock with Kareem. The skyhook, the most unstoppable shot in NBA history. Also got to give it up to Will Chamberlain, too, because he was a bucket-getting machine and really unstoppable in his era. High jumping.
Josiah, you never seen Will play?
I got YouTube just like everybody else. I got NFTs. I got all that goodness.
Yeah, look, Kareem is the greatest basketball player. If we are going, like, a lot of the times our conversation is like, who is the greatest NBA right. player of all time? Mm-hmm. Without doubt, the greatest basketball player of all time, from career of high school, college, and pro, is Kareem, and it ain't even really close, to tell you the truth.
Well, Richard, that wasn't the question. I talked about the greatest scorer, but there you go again, moving the goalposts. I said KD is the greatest scorer of all time.
When you talk
about a guy that's going to give you 50, 40, 90 every season, a guy that's 7 foot, zero flaws in his game.
Question.
Has a pull-up
okay, that's
trade
fair.
Ball,
that's fair. Right. Agreed. I mean, he has no flaw in his offensive game. Okay, what last thing. There's no flaw in this man's game, but you're taking Kevin Durant over Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
I just feel like there's a group at the top, and Kevin Durant is one of them. Kareem is one of them. Michael Jordan, people, won the scoring title 10 times.
Who?
Scored 63 in a playoff game and got Larry Bird to say, that's not MJ, that's God disguised as Michael Jordan. So he's in that conversation also, just
him.
Saying.
And Kobe, too. So Kobe, you got to show love to everybody.
Amen. That's right. So now, Josiah, you know I had to bring this one back.
Oh,
right? We were talking about this earlier in the show.
Did I win it?
The perk moves. And you, of course, tweeted about this as well. Give us your play-by-play here, Josiah.
I didn't know if this was perk or Harden before he left Houston to go to Brooklyn. But
wow.
I love to see big men out there getting it. I love to see big men out there doing it, getting their handle on. So I had to give them the and-one mashup. To show love to the legend.
Man, Josiah just like tossed that grenade on his way out the door. Okay, thanks, people. Josiah, thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck with the Netflix show, and we will love to have you back on later this season.
All right, sounds great. Thank y'all for having me.
Our next WNBA game Saturday afternoon, Mercury taking on the Dream. Our coverage starts at noon Eastern on ESPN2 and the app. All right. Patrick Beverley, no longer an LA Clipper, so we got to run it back to some of his most memorable moments in the Clips uni. Number 5, bullying Lonzo on opening night in 2017. Hello. We're going to be friends here in LA, he said. Number 4, breaking Bogdanovich's ankle.
Float him, Death.
Putting a little dagger there. You know, we only show it if we're made shot, so.
Yeah, thank you. I don't like the misses, the missed dunks.
Number 3, 2019, first round versus the Warriors. Him and KD getting into it every chance they got. That was a scrappy series. People did not expect, right? And that's what prompted, I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. I'm Kevin Durant. One of the best quotes ever. This iconic flop, which he was fined for against the beard. I mean, the slow-mo alone is just...
Oh!
This is a skill in the NBA, too. I'm just saying.
It is a skill. It's not a popular one.
Christmas Day, number 1, sealing the game by stripping LeBron on the way up.
That's my least favorite signal is the review signal.
The review says when they all want to review it.
Yeah. Oh.
There was a small window where Pat Bev kept the Clippers
relevant.
What I am excited about is I'm glad that, like, when I see those old videos of you and I see that little flavor saver.
And I see that little flavor saver.
They'll still be talking by then.
I'm glad that.